In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. And welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on 1701 AM, as we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world of today. And this week, we're speaking about a hot topic, that is, literally, Catholic dating.
Is it still a hot topic for you?
I think it is.
Fair enough. Why, yeah. Are you still dating people?
No. I'm happily engaged.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Congratulations to yourself also.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, so this is awkward.
Really? Why do you find it awkward?
We're talking about Catholic dating.
Yeah. Well, this shouldn't be right.
This is a date.
I didn't get the memo.
This is the first date
get picked up from my house. I don't think it's a date.
We just met up here in the studio.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's so all right. It's, sometimes you got to compromise.
Yeah, it's the first date. Speaking about Catholic dating here live on air. If that's how you want to see it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Exactly. All right. So let's now go straight into the topic. So Catholic dating, or let's better refer to the technical terminology of Catholic courting. So courting goes back to the Middle Ages.
Courtship,
yeah. So it's not taking someone to court. It's basically in the courts within the Middle Ages, knights or nobles or men used to court in public a fair lady, women. So that's the origins of the terminology courting. And let's look at it in the 21st century now today. I mean, what was done in different cultures, like, you know, for instance, you take Indian culture, you take very traditional Arabic culture, you take traditional Asian cultures, in terms of dating, was very different.
Mm.
I mean, cultural differences. But then you extrapolate the fact that all these cultures would be Catholic as well.
Yeah.
And they would do sort of
not different. All of them, I think, depending on the culture.
Yes, and let's take the parameter that all these different cultures would be Catholic. How do they apply Catholic dating to their different cultures?
Okay, I understand.
Yeah. So really, I think it's important to look at the basics of Catholic dating and what it actually means to court in a proper sense, no matter what culture you are. But obviously, today's episode covers us in Sydney, Australia in large, and the Western world, what's applicable, despite whatever your background is. So it's really tailored towards, in this episode, dating in Western civilization, where, let's say, there are a bit more freedoms and particular cultures. So that's really where we're hitting the nail on the head.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd say that's fair.
Exactly. I mean,
that's kind of like the modern age that we grew up in.
Yeah.
So that would make sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's really touch on it. I think because there's a lot of awkwardness around Catholic dating. I mean, it's such a from my friends and family members and different people, I mean, that you speak to and that you try to wingman. Really, it's such
I've seen it. It's true.
I mean, in Catholic circles, there seems to be a lot of hardship in trying to find that other significant other person.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure that people put on themselves unnecessarily. And I think that's kind of where the awkwardness can set in sometimes. And because, like, I think if you're yourself and you're expressing yourself the regular way you do, you'd feel okay and you wouldn't feel as scared or maybe as intimidated to maybe talk to other people. But I think people just put so much pressure on it.
Yep.
So I think that's where it gets a little bit tricky. And of course you want to impress people around you. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's something that's you're supposed to enjoy in life. Was courtship enjoyable for you, George?
Well, I think so. I mean, really, I mean, for me, it's really studying and understanding what's the proper mechanics of dating. I love the terminology I love to use. It's always processes, systems. I like to standardize things. I mean, you look at the mechanics. What's the proper way to date as a Catholic? I mean, it can be a struggle. I mean, within today's culture and being a son of a migrant and many other Catholics are sons and parents of migrants from with different backgrounds. So their parents as migrants would have different expectations. But really the common ground here is that we are all Catholic, no matter what rite you belong to, whatever, we are all part of the universal church. Whether you're Maronite, whether you're Coptic, Ukrainian Catholic, Melkite Catholic, you belong to the Roman Rite, which covers most of the universal church. Whatever rite or family you belong to, we're all under the jurisdiction of the Pope. We are all Catholic. We all hold to the one true faith, no matter what tradition you may hold or whatever cultural background that you belong to. So really, let's touch on the basics of Catholic dating. So
sure,
how can Catholics date in a Catholic way today? Because really, if you actually break down the situation of the church today, the situation seems to me that, and it's absolutely the case, we break down the church today, 8% of all Catholics in this country, it's about 8 to 12%, and you average it, 10% of Catholics go to Mass. So about it's safe to say 10% of Catholics nationwide practice the faith. So all Catholics out there in the country.
So you'd say that it's a small kind of pool for Catholics to look for each
this
other.
This is mass attendance.
Yeah.
So they could be, most of the people, a lot of the people that are in the actual pews may just go just out of a habit. It's a nice weekly thing to do. It makes me feel good about myself.
Like, what if they're already...
It's an extracurricular activity. It's not really that, you know, they believe in the teaching of the church or the doctrine of the church on a consistent scale and they're living their faith. It's that they just sit there, they sit in the pew. It's a good thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a great person. How many times do we hear that? So really, 10% of Catholics go to Mass and 70% of which, I mean, I hope this statistic is wrong, believe in the real presence of our Lord. I hope I'm wrong. Someone call me and prove me wrong. 70% of Catholics don't believe in the faith. I understand why so many faithful Catholics within the church, within church circles, within Sydney, New South Wales, nationwide, struggle to find a significant other who is practicing the Catholic faith, who can lead them to heaven, who both can unite in the sacrament of marriage with the same common goal. Without having to missionary date. I mean, that seems to be a problem. I mean,
yeah,
today,
trying to change missionary dating.
What
is
missionary dating for those
listening? When you date somebody to try and change them or to try and make them better.
Oh, okay, yeah. So to make him,
you're on a mission
to convert them to become a better person.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And look, really, I mean, it's a great thing to do as a friend. I mean, that's part of the apostolate. That's part of our call to evangelize and bring people to the Catholic faith. You should be doing that in your day-to-day life. It's called the apostolate. We have to be active apostles.
It's not all. It's not just about converting them into Catholicism. It's all about like changing them as a person, like as a whole, not just like their faith or their religion. But it's kind of like an overhaul. Like you're trying to overhaul their personality, their looks, or whatever. And, you know, when you date someone, you should be with them because you love them as they are, not trying to change them into somebody that you might consider
Now there's a distinction between working, pushing each other, helping each other grow.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, you're going to grow as a person by being in that relationship.
Yeah.
Even let's take a step back. Even your friendships, your five friends, your top five friends that you spend your time with, people that you spend your time with, you're the average basically of those people because the people you consciously choose to spend your time with influence the person that you become eventually in a subconscious way.
Yeah.
So let alone someone that you're going to date, that extra step forward in that friendship into courtship should help you become the person that you want to be.
Yeah,
it's basically helping each other get to heaven.
Yeah.
That is the goal of the Catholic toolbox. That is the goal of the Catholic faith.
Mm.
That's the goal of every sacrament that exists, is to help you get to heaven. Your vocation, everyone is called to holiness. The Second Vatican Council in Lumen Gentium called the entire Universal Church, lay people, everyone has a vocation to holiness, the universal call to holiness, reiterated by the Father, St. Jose Maria Escrivá, that we are all called to be saints in the midst of the world, whatever you do. An apostle in the midst of the world. If you're a plumber, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, you're a teacher, you're a truck driver, wherever you are listening now, you are called to holiness in whatever you do. So, and then the sacrament of marriage, everything needs to lead to the sacrament of marriage.
Mm.
And so just getting back to really Catholic dating.
Yeah.
So Catholic dating, I mean, leaves a lot of people now that we've dissected the situation in the church today. Statistically, is very little Catholics who are practicing that would be compatible with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a job and a half to really bring someone that's Catholic but not practicing the faith and convince them. You can't really bank on that a lot of the time.
Yeah, do you think? That's a little bit tricky in itself.
Yeah. So, but it can actually be done, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, some people maybe might have gone with that journey together with their spouse or I'm thinking of Scott Hahn.
Dr. Scott Hahn.
but, you know, that's kind of like a one-of-a-kind thing. Yeah, and it is tricky. Like, if, you know, I've seen this somewhere or read about it somewhere, you don't want to be the person who is going to Mass one day with only your kids, like, without your husband, and while your husband's at home sleeping or, you know, watching telly. Like, you know, going to Mass is like such a beautiful thing that hopefully one day that you have the goal of your marriage that you can all go together as a family.
Exactly. So really, what can we do now to understand a little bit better of how? So we've dissected. Let's take a step back. I mean, this is heavy stuff. We've dissected. So dating leads to marriage. That's the ultimate goal. It needs to be centered on definitely. Marriage. It's not just another friendship. Well,
when you're dating someone, you should be discerning: do I see myself marrying them one day?
Yep.
Otherwise, why are you still there? You know.
Let's take a step back further. Okay. I like to analyze this. Your friendships.
Yeah.
I believe you need to work on your friendships before absolutely. You can start working on dating. Because the definitely. Quality of a friend that you are to your fellow girls or guys determines how you'll be towards that significant absolutely. Other. Because essentially all it is, if you break it up, the anatomy of a relationship is actually a friendship that stretches into a romantic sense and then discerning marriage.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So the base foundation is you being able to have quality, wholesome friendships with people of the same gender and your family, having those good friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
I think that's where people need to focus on first, developing your friendships, fostering your friendships, focusing on yourself and how you are as a friend towards other people.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree with that. And, you know, it is evident that when your friendships are blossoming, you know, you're happier as a person and that you just kind of get along with them. And what more if you bring that into a marriage, into a future marriage? Like, exactly. To have that kind of friendship where someone just gets you, you don't have to explain things or your jokes or stuff like that.
Mm.
And, you know, you guys just have a great relationship where, you know, it won't be 100% perfect. No relationship is always easy breezy. But that's why
we
need
relationships, that we grow from them.
But those challenges within those relationships do help you grow as a person, but as well as a friend or maybe even a spouse or a fiancé, in my case, as a fiancé.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And really, I think understanding that you need to build the foundation of friendship.
Yeah.
You need to be able to be friends with people. I mean, if you have, let's say, some social problems, you need to work on it, maybe with a counselor or a psychologist. I highly recommend you get in contact with one and start working on yourself, building yourself up from ground level before you can take that step and leap into dating. Yeah. Dating is the next step, a friendship level up. So a lot of people just are very much desperate to be in especially Catholics. I mean, everyone wants desires love. And it's so hard because where do you find good Catholics? Sometimes you can't just go to your average parish. There aren't that many young people.
They're not there.
And statistically, by the time a young person finds other young people, let's say 10 people in a youth group, how many of those 10 people are your age?
Yeah.
Okay, tick.
Possibly. Got your age. Possibly.
Possibly, yeah. Exactly. But this is, I'm echoing the struggle of people who just go to, let's say, average parish.
Who kind of keep their pool very small and they're not very open to kind of new experiences.
Yeah, just relying on the parish. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just kind of relying on, like, putting all the eggs in one basket instead of kind of diversifying their portfolio.
I think we better open the Catholic toolbox and take out the tools
at
the moment.
Good.
What do you think?
Yeah,
what do you have in 100%. The toolbox?
Okay. Well, you know, leading on from what we were just talking about, I think you definitely need to be open to who you talk to and, like, the events that you attend. You know, be careful in the selection of the events that you choose or...
very important.
Or go to the ones that your friends are all going to, so you're not going by yourself kind of thing, so it's not as awkward for you. And it is kind of a little, like, you know... You're bound to have a little bit more fun when you do attend events with some of your friends. And if they know other people who are going to be there, that's also great so that they can, you know, network with you. You can network with others. You can meet more people and expand your circle of friends. So
I think it's very important because a lot of Catholic friends of mine, heaps of them, I mean, I talk about, look, they can't meet somebody or... they're struggling to find a good practicing Catholic. They don't want to marry someone of a different religion.
Yeah, definitely.
They don't want to marry a lapsed Catholic and have to convince them to come to church.
We both know so many wonderful people and they're single, but, you know.
It's probably what inspired us to run this episode regarding this topic. And I think, look, it's very important to... this is a skill for life. If you are a person, like, let's say myself... I'm very religiously, politically oriented. So I hang around. You'll find me at your political events, at your, let's say, radio events, at your Catholic events, because it reflects who I am as a person.
Yeah, absolutely.
So who I am as a person, you need to dig deep into who you are, really, and then take that step and say, look, which circles best suit me? I love to give back to the community. That's why naturally years ago I joined the SES for a year and a half to 2 years. So that's where you're going to find Georgia Manassa volunteering with the SES years ago, a handful of years ago.
Do you see a girl volunteering with
SES? No, I didn't. Found a seminarian.
Not to be kind of, you know, being against girls and joining the SES, but with girls the first option...
You might.
Possibly, but probably not in the out there kind of sense.
Yeah.
You know, they might be... putting their efforts into different things, maybe into, you know, joining an exercise class or let's say if it's the SES, maybe blood donations and things like that. If you want to go into the extremes.
Let's say, let's...
Like there's so many different events going on. Everyone's got
their own
thing.
There's so many Catholic events that you probably need to attend. So like with anything, let's say trying to find a good Catholic spouse... you got to take practical measures. You have to look at where am I going to find a good Catholic spouse? I can pray, I can be part of the parish, but you can't just sit down and pray. God gives you the wisdom through prayer to then take action. That's what the Catholic Toolbox is here for. So you need to sit down and strategize strategically. Where can I find young people that are Catholic, that are practicing my faith?
Well, you know, you're opening the second tool there, which is go to where, you know... where young Catholics might hang out.
Where do they hang out?
The Latin Mass.
Traditional Latin Mass circles. Not just
I'm
the Latin
just
Mass,
saying that's
but I
just,
think that's a very big hotspot.
When I go to the Latin Mass, there's so many young people.
Exactly.
Like, there's so many of
there's
them.
There's so many young people.
They're all dressed up. They all look
exactly.
good.
Exactly. From all different Eastern and Western rites, everyone attends the Latin Mass. So usually Latin Mass circles, in my experience... have a lot of young people.
Yeah.
And you're almost guaranteed, really, that the whole parish there are practicing Catholics. Because the likelihood of you finding someone that's a practicing Catholic really is so...
But
the reason I'm teaching you that from your average sometimes parish is low because a lot of them just attend maybe just socially or it's just mum forces them. So really, if you go to traditional Latin Mass... or sometimes Eastern Rite masses, you'll find young people and get involved in some of their youth groups. You've got to be proactive. You can't just say, oh, my local parish these days anymore. Yeah. You have to venture out and say, what are the Catholic events in Sydney? What are the Catholic events in New South Wales? Where am I going to find? You have to be strategic when you scope. It's like,
in my head, I'm thinking you're saying, I'm going to go to the Latin Mass in Newcastle. I feel like New South Wales, like you just opened the Pandora box. Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is Latin Mass is one of those great places where you can find people that are, you know, probably looking for a spouse. Another place where...
You'll find like-minded people.
Okay, my best friend found her spouse here, University Chaplaincies.
University Chaplaincies. Big
one. Yeah, so even if you don't go to that uni, just turn up at the chaplaincy. Just go there to pray.
Or just go there to run processions.
Yeah, as you used to.
Eucharistic processions. Mm. And so go to university chaplaincies or tertiary education Catholic chaplaincies.
Yeah.
And any institution that you belong to. Like, for instance, University of Sydney has tremendous chaplaincy. Yeah. And
so you don't necessarily have to attend a Catholic university to find these university chaplaincies.
But you can get involved. Usually, you can be part of them.
Usually these places would have chapels. Like UCID has a beautiful one. You know, Notre Dame has a church because they are a Catholic university.
Yes, exactly.
So does ACU.
It is a Catholic university,
And so they've got chapels all over their campuses. So those are different places where you can meet other Catholics who may be single.
And very likely because you really think university is where, as a young adult, you're looking to find yourself and concrete your identity. When you're in high school, sometimes people... go wayward in different directions. But as Cardinal Pell said in an interview with Charbel Raish tremendously on the Parousia podcast, and I highly recommend you check them out, Parousia podcast with Charbel Raish, run by Parousia Media. So he said, Cardinal Pell said very importantly, that he doesn't regret, and one of the great decisions that he made was to invest in university chaplaincies. Why? Because you have so many young people, and they make life decisions that they hold for their future, and they concrete for their future.
Absolutely.
At university, as a young adult, whether you're at the university or not, it's these organizations which foster belonging in the Catholic community and help you strengthen your faith. So he set up tremendously and heroically, not just the UCID Catholic Society, but all the university Catholic societies based, I think, in UCID, in that great center. Yeah. Big shout out to them.
I mean, even if you don't go to the chaplaincy, they run events. So, for example, like Society Ball,
the annual Catholic Society Ball, which is not just UCID, which is all Catholics, alumni, and general young Catholics to get together.
UCID hosts it. They plan the event, but then they invite everybody.
Exactly,
which is great. And I mean, the Latin Mass. You know, the FSSP, who...
Fraternity, the Fraternalis Sacerdotalis Sancti Patri, which is the fraternity of St. Peter.
They also used to run events as well, where a lot of young people gathered.
I think there was a Valentine's Day ball.
Yeah, there was a Valentine's ball.
And now they should be picking up after COVID-19. I know a lot of people were stressed about meeting people during COVID-19. And where on earth do you meet people?
Yeah. Do they really look the same on their...
On Zoom.
On their picture. Yeah, on Zoom. And when they have a mask on, you know, someone else could be under that mask. We don't know.
Exactly. So...
It's tricky these days, guys.
Really, I mean, get involved. Look up your university Catholic society, where every tertiary level, they usually run events for everybody.
Yeah.
Because you're guaranteed young people. Usually, most of the time, it is young people.
Yeah, I know in Victoria, Monash does it.
Monash, every university does it. Every university, find your local university.
Mm.
What are the Catholic events? There's theology on tap. There's different events there. And also get involved and find a vibrant parish. Some parishes, look, may have a demographic of older people, and that's fine. Some have mixed. Some have more of a younger generation.
Yeah.
Find parishes and parish events which have younger demographics. And get involved there and fight and mingle amongst themselves.
You know, I've just thought of a really good one. So there's been a lot of great ordinations this year, and a lot of them are like priests who are young adult ages. And those priests have parties when they get ordained. So that might be another source if you get invited to their parties.
Exactly.
You know,
or the event, going to Catholic events and being active. I mean, you're praying. I'm not saying you have to be at every Catholic event.
No. You'll be so tired. Especially if you're introverted.
And it's a bit of a sneak peek into my book. I talk about a good...
you have a book?
We'll talk about that next week. But we talk about you know, just balancing church involvement and how to balance church involvement in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you don't have to be at every event, but you got to pick and choose smart. I mean, this is not about, oh, I'm just going for just to meet guys or meet girls. I'm going for the Lord to help grow in holiness, but it's an added benefit, as one of my friends said.
You should be like, okay, if you're going to monthly adoration, you should be going to meet Jesus.
Absolutely.
Not a future boyfriend
or
girlfriend.
You focus on God first.
Yeah.
You focus on God first and the rest will just flow naturally.
Absolutely. You know, run towards the Lord and...
You'll become a Catholic magnet.
All right. Run towards the Lord. I think Jason Evans said this. I always misquote this.
Yes, exactly.
But run towards God. And if you look to your side, whoever is keeping up with you, that's a pretty good sign.
Exactly. So run the race. We're here to get to heaven, salvation of our soul. And if someone picks up, reaches the level and is on the track to running, and is that your level?
Yeah.
Say hello and run the race. Continue running the race together. Strengthen each other to run faster. But really, you need to take strategic action. You need to sit down, even pencil and paper. Yeah. I've sat down with friends. We've strategized on pencil and paper. Which events are we going to go to try and meet good Catholics? And people laugh at it. And you're laughing
at it now. I'm laughing at it right now.
But I can't stress how important it is. You have to be socially strategic with your business networking, with your networking in the church, networking in politics, networking on a social level, networking for services. Ah, and hey, the same applies with networking for a good Catholic spouse. You have to run the logistics of things. You have to. You need to pray and focus on your spiritual life, but then you got to think, okay, well, if I'm in a parish with an older demographic and I'm sitting there praying to God for someone to come and find me, it's not going to happen, really. I mean, you have to be realistic.
Unless you talk to those older people and they have nieces or nephews that they can refer you to.
Yes, that's a smart...
So, it pays to have connections, guys.
There you go. Yeah, I might work in a Maronite church.
Auntie, you know anyone?
Auntie, you know this person. But look, really, you have to be... Well, do that. Be part of your church. Do what you need to, but go to other events. Yeah. Visit other parish events.
And, you know,
Facebook has plenty of Catholic events.
When you're at these events, make sure you don't just stick to your group of friends. Like, diversify, guys.
Exactly. Divide and conquer, as my friends used to.
You need to talk to a lot of people. Like, the girls and the guys, sometimes they tend to, like, stick on their own. And they
exactly.
stay on the you same...
stand there.
The same, they stay on the same side of the room.
An angel's going to bring
but
the
can
guy.
I just
it's
say,
not going to happen.
Nothing is going to happen if you guys are like... You know, the Red Sea.
You need to be active. So I think working on your friendships as a start, your social skills, building that up, build yourself up as a person. Because that's formation for your marriage. And then once you have good friendships, growing in those friendships and focusing yourself, running towards the Lord, strategize, okay, where can I meet good young Catholic? It's not going to just fall out of the sky. Just because you're praying that God will show you, you have to do something for God's will to take effect. It's faith and reason combined. Yeah. So find those Catholic events on Facebook. There's no excuse where you can't find events on Facebook through your parish, networking, create a youth group. Be active. Be around young people who would be your age, that could be and among whom of the opposite gender. You could meet somebody. You got to double your chances of meeting that other person. You got to pray, focus on God, and logistically put yourself in that situation. All that, sorry, that likelihood of you statistically finding somebody.
Yeah.
So if you're doing your part by praying and putting yourself logistically through being at Catholic events and everything, and God will do his part, bring the person at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's God's will that in your call to marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to really, most people go to the clubs, go out, pub crawls, hang out with out with people. Oh, where are you going to meet a good Catholic person?
Statistically, it's a lot more difficult to meet a good Catholic guy in a bar.
Exactly. They're not going to buy you a drink.
No.
I'm too cheap to do that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these things cost 11, 15 bucks for a whiskey last Saturday.
What are you
buying? Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was a good whiskey bar.
Yeah, fair enough.
Very expensive. But really, likelihood, if you going out to, let's say, one of the hotels, level 33, Shangri-La, bar or you going to, let's say, a hotel or some bar in the city and you meeting a good Catholic person, probably very unlikely.
Yeah.
Statistically. So adjust your strategy and say, look, where should I invest?
But if you guys go to a ball and then
every year.
And then go to a bar afterwards, that's very different.
And see what else there is. Yeah. Or hang out with 2-3 Catholic friends and say, hey, let's get some
other people. Hey, let's all go to Macca's.
Let's all go to Macca's.
Seriously, sometimes it's how it starts.
Or let's say, put on a Catholic charades game at home and then invite everybody. There's Catholic, I mean, you can get
the Catholic card game.
The Catholic card game. We highly recommend you check out the Catholic card game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It was a collaboration between, I think, Pints with Aquinas.
But you can really see people's personalities. When you play that game.
I mean, bring people together. Yeah. I mean, find other Catholics. Network. Use your networking skill. Bring Catholics together and let's put on events. Let's do parties.
You know, once COVID's...
You'll meet other people.
Once COVID's over, I mean, there's still a limit of...
We've all suffered during COVID.
Of how many people can you have at your house? Like 20 people?
Exactly. Yeah. Bring 20
people
over.
You can still have 20 people over.
Some of your friends will mingle and things will happen.
Yeah.
You have to put... I mean, traditionally, when the church is a bit healthier, back in the 20s and pre-20s, 30s, there were Catholic balls, there were villages, there were events, and most people practicing the faith, living the faith, and living aspiring to live a holy life to a greater extent than today's society.
Mm.
Events are happening. These things don't just fall out of the sky.
Yeah.
These things don't fall out of the sky. You got to do your bit, and God will do his bit. Yeah. You know, it's not I pray, be passive, hope for the best. It's not going to happen. You have to be strategic. So get your pen and paper, get your Facebook open, get your social media, get your Catholic friends together and strategize to see how you can boost your chances of finding the person that God may call you to be with.
Yeah. I mean, there's a Filipino saying, and it goes, nasa tao ang gawa. No, nasa Diyos ang awa, nasa tao ang gawa. Which means...
Oh, yeah.
Did you understand?
Yeah.
So it means, like, the Lord has mercy on us. You know, he gives us these things, but you have to be the people are the one who have to act on it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, the strength of the word was very good. No, I didn't understand what that meant.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, so, basically what it means is God gives you these chances, but you're the one who has to make that chance happen.
So really... It's really all action. It's prayer, doing your part, and then taking action.
I mean, that's why
really.
We have practical tools on this. And, you know, veering off from that last part of the conversation, confidence is key in these events. So that's the third tool for tonight.
Confidence.
Confidence is such a big thing. You got to be confident in yourself before you get out there and you're ready, you know, for the world. So if you're not ready, like, to do that yet, then maybe you need to step back and look at things that you might not feel like you're happy with in yourself.
And that's a good thing. I think a lot of people are scared to step back.
Yeah.
They just want to be dating.
They just want to go, but then they're more reluctant to retreat and kind of reflect and think about where could I improve myself? You know, it's like, what is it about me? And to be honest with you, for me, there was a period of that time as well. Like, I dated my first boyfriend and I was like, I just want to date someone. Didn't even care. I barely knew him. Like, I seriously, like, I was like, in my, like, I look back now and I'm like, I want to slap my 18-year-old head.
Yeah.
You know, like, what an idiot. But at the same time, that did actually help me to learn about what I wanted in a future spouse. I was like, well, what am I dating around for if... Like, I'm not going to marry the guy.
Yeah, it's a waste of time.
I literally couldn't see myself marrying this guy. And I was like, okay, thank God I got out of that. But with God's grace, you know, he led me to become a person who I was happy with.
By being single in that season of singleness, working on yourself.
Absolutely. Don't worry. You know,
sometimes you have to refrain.
I traveled a lot. Yeah. I got to enjoy... Like, a lot of different things. World Youth Day 2013, like, that was a great experience in my life. You know, I really worked on my career. I got to do what I loved, and then I moved on from that. So, you know, it was an evolution of myself.
Mm.
And then we met.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And then it was kind of like it all fell into place because I had these goals that I wanted, but at the same time, you had the same goals.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was really very much... focused on yeah, sure. I mean, it's great to date somebody and be with somebody, but really, I was centered on just the fact that it's the call to marriage.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Dating should be a preparation for marriage. Courting is real terminology, is a preparation for marriage. So I was very practical mind trying to think, you know, just like focus on your career, make money, get rid.
Make money.
Work on yourself spiritually, work on yourself physically, work on yourself in the four aspects of life.
Absolutely.
Because eventually that's formation for your marriage.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, you won't. Your season of singleness and your time single will go away very quickly.
Yeah.
So enjoy it and grasp it while you can. Why are people rushing to date when there's things to be worked on? There's preparation to be made.
Yeah. And like, you know, my season of singleness, it involved, you know, studying, it involved traveling, it involved, you know, working professionally, learning how to talk to people, and then going to a lot of these events, like Catholic events that we're talking about now, you know, going to those Jason Everett talks or whoever was in town kind of thing with my girlfriends. And it's funny because when, you know, I was meeting with that florist and she's also one of my good friends. And when she was reflecting on like years ago, maybe like 7-8 years ago when Jason Everett first came to visit Australia through Parousia Media, praise God.
I would recommend you check out Parousia Media.
No, Charvel does great work. But in saying that, when we first encountered him and she was saying, well, now look at that, like, look at us, like, we're all married now. Well, you're the last one to get married. And I was like, yeah, wow, like, never realized that. But we all managed to have good Catholic men who have become their spouses. So, yeah, I mean, they all got their dream guys.
It really, excellent. So, I mean, that's some powerful stuff. We've got a lot more to talk about. I mean, this is a heavy topic, a hot topic. But if you are considering hiring a photographer or videographer for your wedding especially, function or occasion, I highly recommend you check out Captured Frames on www.capturedframes.com. I highly recommend you get in contact with Cyron at Cyron at capturedframes.com.au. They do a tremendous job. There is a reason why I specifically and only and we went directly to Captured Frames. They are a practicing Catholic business.
I went to youth group with Cyron.
Cyron is a tremendous bloke. I think it'll be giving a bit of a hard time in procuring, negotiating a little bit. But really,
they do such beautiful work. And, you know, it would be a shame to not support a Catholic business throughout this big event in our lives.
I mean, the first priority is getting a quality photographer, videographer that day. Before the fact that they're Catholic. But it happens that they are one of the best.
Yeah.
And they're Catholic.
Yeah.
And they know how to cover a church properly, a liturgy properly.
That was the main thing, yeah.
Exactly. And you'll be stunned. So go to their website and check it out. I highly recommend you get in contact with Cyron. So get in contact with Cyron. I just want to get a bit of a shout out to CatholicMatch.com. So go to www.CatholicMatch.com. That's another one that you should check out. Let's say if you're busy, especially during COVID-19, I mean, a lot of people have been separated, go to CatholicMatch.com. So it's very important that you should at least try and check them out. If there's time constraints in your schedule, if it can supplement meeting somebody, we'll talk about that a little bit later. So now we'll take a break before opening the line to call in here with your questions or comments. The magic number is 96256111. That is 96256111. Or email us here at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com or in the comment section, any of the live EWTN, Asia Pacific, Catholic Toolbox, or Voice of Charity Australia Facebook pages. We're live there for your questions or comments. Just put them in there, call in here, or email us, one of those three options. So stay tuned here on 1701 AM. We'll be back shortly. Thank you. And welcome back to another week in the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on 1701 AM, as we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world of today. And we continue our discussion on the hot topic of Catholic dating with Akita Sanchez. Welcome back aboard here.
Thanks. So nice to be back in the studio, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these Zoom meetings and teleconferences in, it's not really the same.
Yeah, especially when you get cut off on the video and the recording.
There you go. And then it delays slowly. I mean, you really want to be alone. There's something about the real presence there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So, look, now we have an open line. So we have an open line here now for you to call in with your questions or comments. The number is 9625611. That is 9625611. Or email us here. You can email us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. Or, very simply, you can comment on The Catholic Toolbox Facebook page, EWTN Asia Pacific page, or the Voice of Charity Australia Facebook page. We're live on all those three platforms, so you can simply put your comment in there or question. We'll answer it here for you. So we're speaking about Catholic dating, something which is very important, and dating leads to marriage. And when you get married, you need a good Catholic photographer or videographer. That is why I highly recommend you check out Captured Frames on www.capturedframes.com. They're a tremendous Catholic business who run amazing photography, and that is why they were the selection that we made without a shadow of a doubt to with Siren. I mean, your good friend Siren. Yeah,
definitely.
So you can email him on Siren, C-Y-R-O-N, at capturedframes.com.au, or go to their website at Captured Frames. They're a good Catholic business. I highly recommend you check them out and make sure to support Catholic businesses, because they do a tremendous job, and we ought to support them. If they get the job done, why hand your money to someone else who may not practice the faith or propagate the faith or be open to life? We have to really think about Catholic procurement. I mean, not many people speak about that. That's why in our book, coming out later, I think in about a month's time, being published currently, we speak about Catholic procurement. I mean, very few people speak about it, that we do need to support our own. You know, given that they do the correct job and do a quality job, if someone's Catholic, go with the Catholic person. We should be unashamed about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Why not support good Catholic businesses?
Yeah.
And allow Catholics to flourish and help each other out. Networking, that is tremendous. So really now, I mean, we're really deep into the topic of Catholic dating. We spoke about the struggle of most Catholics today in the West, in, let's say, Australia, even in the United States, it applies. Small percentage of Catholics. Worldwide, really. I mean, I think it depends on the country. I mean, you look at places like Lebanon, for instance. You live in a Catholic village, and it's really a village, let's say, in the north, for instance, where people are all Catholic, same religion, really. I don't know whether to be practicing 100% doctrinally or not, but at least it sometimes is easier statistically to meet somebody that's of the same faith, and it's easier statistically. Some other countries in Europe, Philippines, I think it'd be very easy to meet a Catholic that's a mass-going Catholic, takes their faith seriously. Here in Australia, I'm in Sydney, Australia. I mean, the scene here, let's say anywhere in Sydney, you go to your average parish, it's not as many young people. Some parishes have a lot of young people. Some don't. I mean, but sometimes you can't really rely. Where are you going to statistically meet a good practicing Catholic if you're practicing the faith yourself? Surely you should have friends. And that's where the whole networking process needs to be strategic. We spoke about now three practical tools. I mean, really. But where do you see the dating scene, Akita, heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
Okay.
As we move forward after COVID-19.
It's, look, right now, with the scenario we're in, I think within the next, maybe even the next year, with the whole COVID situation, it might be a little trickier. It might be more difficult, a little bit more difficult to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you do have to be strategic with, if you do attend events, or maybe it's just, if you have your, like, not to say, in a strange way, but if you have your eye on somebody and you've been like thinking, maybe I should just ask them for coffee, maybe just do it. Like, what are you waiting for? Like, what are you waiting around for? You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, especially why would you be waiting around for it? It is harder to make
especially good practicing Catholics. Especially with COVID, I mean.
And finding good practicing Catholics, statistically, that's similar age.
Yeah.
And this is baseline stuff, because just being a practicing Catholic and of the opposite gender and a suitable age difference, that's just baseline. Doesn't mean it's going to work out.
No.
Because you got factored. This should be, like, taken for granted.
Again, a lot of people put pressure in these things when they don't need to, when it's unnecessary to put a lot of pressure on a cup of coffee.
It's just a cup of coffee. Get over it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's just...
Look, if the conversation flows, then that's a great thing. But if it doesn't, then that's all right. You know, move on.
So I think, look, we put the other person, let's say meeting a significant other, a potential person, on a pedestal.
Yeah, you think, absolutely. In our society,
there's too much pressure or focus. Oh, you go out for a coffee, there's expectation. There really isn't. It's just,
you don't need to Instagram sense. It if it doesn't go well. It's fine.
It's okay. You don't need Instagram the first one.
Yeah.
So look, let's talk about Catholic dating mechanics. Nobody talks about that. I mean, nobody words it that way. Catholic dating mechanics.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. I mean, so what should a Catholic... Let's take a scenario. A guy sees a nice girl in a parish, in his parish.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Would you talk to them?
Okay, like, after mass?
Would you stalk her at the car park and then talk to her?
Or would you just let it go? You see each other at daily mass, let's say 6:30 a.m. in the morning or midday, or let's say before or after work. What should someone do? And you might see them around here and there in the parish life. What should someone do moving forward?
Well, start off by saying hello would be a great thing. Introduce yourself. Ask them questions about themselves.
You like, think about it logically,
Don't just talk about yourself when you meet them.
But they go to Mass. They go to Mass every day, so you're like, well, they must be a practicing Catholic. I mean, daily Mass, they may know the faith and they may have some commitment to the faith. That they're, you know, waking up early, go to Mass, they go to the midday Mass. Or
try not to scare them with your questions, you know.
Exactly. Like, I mean, really, it's...
Don't sound like you're stalking them straight away. Don't be like, ooh, I've noticed that you go to 6:30 a.m. Mass and you sit on this pew every single day. Like, you know,
Do you come here often? Do you come here often?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the Mass. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
Yeah. And also those Bible pickup lines, I'm not sure how far they'll take you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just trying to remember one of them.
I've got one.
What is it?
Hey, have you read the Book of Numbers? Because it doesn't have your number in it.
No.
Or something like that. So cheesy. Because
I like to have, I think it's like, hey, would you like to pray a few decades with me? No, sorry, would you like to pray the rosary? Because you're worth, is it decades worth waiting for?
Oh, that's a good one.
Decades worth waiting for.
There's another rosary one. Hey, I forgot my rosary. Can I use your hands?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So.
I mean, it's all these
cheesy... I don't know how far that'll get you with the COVID restrictions.
Exactly. So, now I've got another one. It doesn't matter if you don't have a mantilla, which is the veil on your head where you go to Mass, because I'll be your mantilla die.
Yeah, okay.
Credit to Olivia Lee. Big shout out to her. I mean, that's really, I mean, there's, you can't use those things. They don't work. I mean, I've had my fun share.
What if a girl doesn't know what a mantilla is? That's the problem.
Well, that's a learning experience. That's how you learn things. Yeah. I mean, I'm not afraid to teach people.
I know you're not. No, definitely.
So, look, I mean, really... All right, so let's continue with
Are we continuing this situation of you meet a girl in a parish, what should you do next?
Let's say Mr. Perfect, Mr. Alpha, is at Mass, is around. Then, as active as he is, he says, let's see if there's a youth group. And then he finds her at the youth group at a talk, at a monthly talk or formation session. It might be the Live Christ, Share Christ, which I highly recommend you check out. The Live Christ, Share Christ, they do tremendous work. A monthly formation programs. So it could be at the Live Christ, Share Christ. That there's a monthly formation program, and then that same girl or guy may be there.
Yeah.
You bump into them and you see them there. What do you do there?
Say hello.
Say hello, or
I'll tell you what not to do.
Yeah.
Like, don't ask them if they want a van to fit your future 11 children in. That might be a bit of a stretch, but maybe asking them what their name is. Do they come to this parish often? Which mass do you go to? So you know which mass
you can
to go
pull
to.
Off. You can pull off the, hey, the pastoral nice guy. Hey, everyone. Hey, youth group. You know? That's,
you know,
I become the nice guy.
But do you know what's better than that?
Yeah.
When you're Mr. Yourself.
Exactly.
When you're authentic about who you are.
Be authentic, but be inclusive, you know. Be
Again, keep yourself open, like, because you never know what the Holy Spirit's going to send your way. So
really, I think, and then moving forward, you meet the person, do you come here often? You might want to add them on Facebook. There you go, we have technology that's less intimidating these days. So you know, you can add them on Facebook. You need to be proactive in that sense, and then you go on a first date or a second date or a third date. And we have a relevant question here from Ronald through Facebook Live. Ron asks, it's very easy asking a woman out, but how do you sustain it after a few dates? That's where I fall through the crack. Am I not pretty enough? Ronald, thank you very much for your questions through Facebook Live. I'm sure you are pretty enough interiorly and exteriorly.
Yeah, definitely.
So, look, it can be hard asking a woman out, but, I mean, let's talk. I think it'd be relevant to speak about the first couple of dates. The first date, let's say, let's use Mr. Alpha. We proceed, he proceeds to have a chat, write paragraphs to each other, get to know the person. Ah, oh, see you around at mass. How are you? Have a chat. And then he gets to a stage where a month or two after, he knows the person a little bit well, enough to have a conversation, might say, oh, hey, are you... obviously finding out that they're not seeing anybody through Facebook, as most people do, or any other social media, or as many means as possible, might ask, and maybe even asking the conversation, hey, look, would you like to go for a cup of coffee? Get to know each other.
Yeah. But what Ron is asking is, what if you've been past that first coffee, the first dinner?
And okay, then let's move forward.
What about continuing?
Then she enjoys the first coffee. Let's go for a dinner. Would you like to go on a date?
Yeah.
Then you say, you know, let's go on this date. And dating is not, you're not in a relationship yet.
No.
So let's go through the mechanics. And this may differ for some people, but generally, I would say, my view, that the first three dates should not be a relationship. These are three dates or four dates or couple, depending on the frequency of how
and
much you see.
You
got to
make sure, you got to, like, as uncomfortable as this is, at some point you will have the determined relationship conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So let's move back. Let's
exactly.
Backspace. Yeah. Let's move back into
the
first few dates. You're dating, which is not, which does not mean that they're your boyfriend or your girlfriend.
No, absolutely. It's just
testing
ground to understand them on that level.
Yeah,
but you did the foundation of friendship by Mr. Alpha seeing her around at mass, and she saw him at mass. They got to have a few conversations out on Facebook. They know each other. They can get an idea about who they are, this person. You may see them from distance and say, look, maybe not the right person for me. But maybe they continue and instigate that coffee the first day.
Yeah.
Which you're talking about. I think I interrupted there.
Yeah, sorry.
There's just so much mechanics.
Yeah, I know. And it's easy to kind of get into the technicalities of it and then just back off.
Yeah.
Like back out, because it's so scary. But trust me, it's not that
scary. Okay, all right. Let's proceed. Let's stay on track.
I think what you got to do is you kind of just look, you have to evaluate in yourself, where do you think this is going? Like, do you see yourself maybe even going out with them for the rest of the year? Do you see yourself going out with them for the next 2 years? Do you see yourself getting married to them at all? You know, so if you don't see it, like, you don't have to be sure of the whole marriage thing straight away.
But the first couple of dates are just there.
It's supposed to be relaxed.
But that's why it's good to know them from a distance on a friendship level. Yeah. Where there's there might not be a few emotions where, could this be a relationship?
A lot of the times it helps that they're your friend before they're your date.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
That mitigates any kind of obstruction clarity.
Maybe instead of the next time you're trying to pursue a girl, maybe instead of asking her straight away to go on a date, you ask her...
Would you like to come to card game?
Yeah, like me and my mates are hosting this thing. Do you want to come along? Or me and my mates are coming to dinner.
And your intention should be pure. Hey, just invite somebody else. You might be, you could be attracted to that person, but that's nothing really. I mean, we could be attracted to a lot of people, but that's really just... and she might turn out to be a good friend, or he might turn out to be a good friend.
And maybe you're just meant to be friends. And exactly. That's fine.
And you make more friends and make more networks.
Yeah,
you
know, it's absolutely. About
being friends with everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But instead of looking at it from a perspective of, oh my gosh, I'm on the fourth date and I'm so bored. How do I get out of this? Look at it as look, she's a great friend. And maybe you do have to define, that is all I want from this relationship is friendship and nothing more. And that's okay, you know. And that's when you can probably be like, oh, like me and my mates are hosting this thing. Let's just kind of hang out with everyone.
Exactly. Try to create a mutual group so that at least you can understand the person a bit more of a personal level in a group context, as much as possible in a community sense. Before, and then that's where you can make up your mind that maybe, oh, this person doesn't seem like we, on a personal level, we click. The baseline, they're Catholic, they're practicing everything, okay? Sure. Suitable age, everything. Let's start to be friends, you know, as much as possible. Sometimes the situation doesn't permit you to be friends, you know. Sometimes you might not seem anymore or very much. You've seen a couple of times and you don't see him very often. A year went by, or 6 months went by, you didn't see him.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, I haven't seen this person again. Might make a move in the car park. Oh, hi, how are you? Do you come here often?
Might make a move and talk to them, right?
Exactly, make a move, yeah. just to instigate something. We have to be proactive. It's really a case-by-case scenario. As much as I'd love to look at everyone's situation, I mean, we really can't. You have to use your common
sense.
There's
so many different ways to meet people that we can't just conclusive it.
Okay.
You can't just be conclusive with one way
into
it, if that makes sense.
All right, so going into Ronald's question, we proceed first three dates. That's just not even a relationship. That's just there to get to know the person, to discern. Obviously, it's clear, hey, I'd like to ask you out on an official date so we can get to know each other. Might be a coffee first and then, hey, you like the person on that one-on-one level, let's go for a date. Go have coffee, enjoy coffee together, and then go for dinner, let's say. And after dinner, the first three, hey, I really see that we can move to a relationship. Let's pray about it, discern about it, and then enter into a courtship.
That is also very important.
And this way, maybe Ron slipping between.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe you need to pray about it more and really just dwell in, like, when
the intentions, the goal.
Yeah.
Our goal is to get married. We're not here for fun. We are here for fun.
Vacation is marriage, then the goal is to
be
married.
That's the serious business. Yeah. We have to focus on marriage. We have to focus
look at the long-term goal as well as your short-term goals. You know, and what is the best way to achieve all of that?
Exactly. And look, I think it's really important to ensure that we grow together in holiness. We need to be centered on the goal. The goal is to get to heaven. Marriage is about getting to heaven together. I mean, really. I mean, that's the end goal, and we need to keep focused on that. So the first couple of days should be discerning. Can I spend the rest of my life with this person? Can we get to heaven? And I think filling it in straight away with, okay, we've been on a couple of dates. We like each other. We know each other as friends. We know each other on that one-on-one level. We know each other's maybe families or something. Taking that leap of faith after discerning well. Emotions aside, there are some emotions involved, but emotions aside, and maybe asking, and this is what I recommend, I think, in a lot of people's situation where they may fall through the cracks, is get a spiritual director or mentor that's a practicing Catholic.
That's very helpful.
And they can guide you, because sometimes you need that other person watching you from, let's say, a box office and
it could even be like a good priest friend of yours who kind of knows you a little bit well, or has good advice in the matter.
Absolutely. And I think really we've wrapped up what we need to speak.
Yeah, I think we've gone over time now.
Excellent. So thank you for equipping us with the Catholic tools this week, Akita. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here talking about Catholic dating. I mean, we can do another series on this. I mean, it's a very dense topic to speak about. So let's now take him and put him into action. If you enjoyed listening to the Catholic Toolbox, why not consider emailing us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to book your next speaking event or consultation. Be sure to subscribe and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of the episodes that are spoken here live. They'll be uploaded shortly. So wherever you get your podcast, go to The Catholic Toolbox. You'll be able to access all the episodes uploaded shortly. So thank you for tuning into the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh. Till next week, God bless, take care, and take action. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.